My dress on and my high heel shoes, and I am looking good walking down that red carpet. And all of you can be my fans, and you're saying, Kelly, 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 turn my way. Let me take your picture. And so I stop and strike a pose for you. Let you take my picture. So I often imagine that I am the center of attention, that I am in the spotlight. And I know I'm not alone. You might be saying, Pastor Kelly, I've never wanted to be on the red carpet. But I bet you at some point in your life, you wanted to be the center of attention. All right. How many of us out there wanted to be the football player that won that Super Bowl winning touchdown? They gave out that they gave out that Heisman Trophy this past week. Yes. Yes. Amen. So you can be the winner and say, "Woo! I won! I'm the winner! It's me! I won the game!" All of us, some of us want to be the person that develops the cure for cancer or AIDS and HIV, so you can say, "I did that! It was me!" And everybody can stand and give you that Nobel Prize for medicine. You did it! You are so successful! Some of you want to be singers, and you want to stand up before a wide audience and sing that song and do your dance, and everybody's going to stand up and give you a round of applause, a standing ovation, and you're going to just stand there and soak it all up. Ooh, all about me. All about me. I know that I am not the only one that wants to be the center of attention. Let me tell you how I really know. We all have this in common. And you might try to say you don't, but I know you do. We all go into the bathroom sometime, or our bedrooms, we shut the door and lock it, we stand in front of the mirror, we get the brush, and all of a sudden we become superstars. All of a sudden, we get to singing and belting our words, we are like Janet Jackson or somebody, and we can sing every song we ever wanted to sing. Some of us, we take our towels and ball them up, and all of a sudden our toilet paper becomes a basketball, and we can get it right in the toilet. Some of us, you know, when I don't try to sing, but I do try to dance in front of the mirror. So I think I'm Michael Jackson. I get my moonwalk on. You know, don't act like y'all never did the moonwalk. So I try to get my dance moves on, and when I'm in that bathroom, and when y'all in that bathroom, well, we are the superstar. Can't nobody touch us. How many of you are a muscle man? Terrence cracks me up. And my stepsons crack me up because they always, you know, they flexing. Ooh, I got the best, biggest muscles. They strike the poses. You know, we all, at times, want to be the center of attention. Amen. All of us. And some of us will do whatever it takes to become the superstar, to become the light, to become the center of attention. We will do whatever we have to do to get where we want to be. Now you may be sitting there wondering, well, how is this? How can I do something like this? Some of us will go so far that we will even go against God to meet our own needs, amen? Amen. So you say, when have I done that? Well, have you ever said, well, I got all these bills to pay, Lord. It's Christmas. Now, you know, God, you really don't want me to go without. So, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and not pay my tithes so that I can get my kids their Christmas gifts. Or you say, God, you couldn't want me to live like this. I got to get my hair done. I have got to get my nails done. You don't want me to live like this, God. Lord, my favorite is when we all say, Lord, the Lord is going to understand. He knows me. We get so wrapped up in ourselves that we become the center of our lives instead of God. Amen. We become so focused on our own needs that we can no longer see what God's needs are, what God's plan and purpose is for our lives. Thank God, though, there is some hope, because there is a man in the Bible who helps us out to understand how not to get so focused on ourselves. And that man is John the Baptist. Now, we all know the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, for a while there, he was the man. He was preaching and teaching and baptizing all over the world. He just was on fire. He did so much, and people were coming from everywhere just to see John. Now, John, you think, is this fantastic preacher? He should have a pretty good life. But John had some problems. What are John's problems? John is broke. He don't have no money. John is homeless. He's living in the desert. John doesn't have the best food to eat. He don't have steak and eggs and shrimp and lobster. John has some wild locusts and some honey. That was his dinner. And after all the time he spent out in the field in the ministry, preaching and teaching, when John got home to his desert, he was all alone. There was nobody home to greet him and say, "Hi, baby, how was your day? I'm so glad to see you." John was all by himself. So John had some problems, just like we do, amen? Now, John had some choices to make. John can say, "You know what? These problems are so great that I cannot deal with them. I'm tired of being broke. I'm tired of not having a relationship that I want to have. I'm tired of not eating the food that I want to eat. I'm tired of not having my life the way I want it to be, so I'm going to give up. I'm not doing anything else." Or John can say, "You know what? It's not my time yet. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep on waiting and being patient and being faithful until my time does come." I can just imagine John might have prayed, "Lord, come on, help a brother out, please. Turn my locusts into some eggs or something. Turn my desert into a castle. Put some money in my empty pockets." We all pray those prayers, especially at this time of the year. It's Christmas. Who likes to be broke at Christmas time? None of us do. We're all praying, "Lord, you know what? Christmas is coming. My kids asking for the new Nintendo 360, whatever that is. It costs $400. Plus the games cost another $50. Plus they want some new Timberland boots. Plus they want all this stuff. But I don't have it to give." And we're praying hard right now because we want to be able to provide. We want to be able to give them what we want them to, or what they want to have. So I can imagine that John was praying, "Please help me out. Help me out." But I want you to know, God doesn't want us to be poor. God doesn't want us to have all these hard times because he's just playing around with us or something. Sometimes God puts us in situations because he is trying to make a difference and a change in our lives. He's trying to make us into different people. And look at your sermon outlines. If you read Malachi chapter 3, verses 3 with me. "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men and women who will bring offerings and righteousness." Now, who is this passage talking about? The Levites. The Levites were the people who were in the church.
Right.
They were the people who were doing the right thing, reading their Bibles, praying, fellowshipping, doing all the things they were supposed to be doing. But here it is, God is saying, "I'm going to refine you." The question is, how do you get refined? You got to go in the fire. When you take silver and gold and you want to purify it and refine it, you put it in the heat. In the fire to make it what it comes out to be. You always sometimes ask that question, why does it seem like the people outside of the church, people doing all wrong, they get all the blessings? They got the houses and the cars, they got all the money, they got everything. And we who are trying to do right, we suffer and we don't have anything. The answer is, we're being refined. We're being purified. We're being put in. Those that's outside, they're not being refined. Until they get their hearts to Christ, then they're going to get refined. But they're not being refined. We are. We're the ones in the fire. And sometimes it's hard. And we want to get out that heat because it's too hot. Thank you. Summertime, y'all know in the summer how the kitchen get real hot, especially if you don't have air conditioning. And you don't want to go in there. It's so hot. Can you imagine being in a furnace inside the heat with the flames getting up around you? That's what we're in. We're in the fire. Jesus is trying to make us into new creations. He's trying to make us into people so desired that we're desired like gold and silver. So beautiful that we're beautiful like gold and silver. That's what we're being made into. We're being changed and molded into. So John looked at his problems and he could have said, I'm not doing this anymore. But he didn't do that because he knew he was being refined. He was being made pure. So he sat in that fire. He dealt with his problems. And then one day, a day came when things looked different. It looked like a door had finally opened. And John was going to be able to come out of that desert. And all of his dreams were going to be answered. Isn't that something you're waiting for some days? You're just hoping, oh, I know one day, God, you're going to make all these changes. And all of a sudden, you're going to be on the magazine covers. And you're going to be just sitting pretty, doing all these great things. So one day, all of these names that Gloria tried to read, all those Pharisees, all those religious leaders, came way out to the desert just to see John. It was like they was walking on the red carpet. Because these was the leaders, y'all. These were the men. They were coming out just to see John. Now, when we see rich and famous people and we think, wow, they're coming just to see me. Wow, this must be really special. What could they possibly want to give me, maybe? And John can probably see all of his dreams and these religious leaders. If I go with them and do things their way, I can have my house. If I go with them and do things their way, I can have my car. If I go with them and do things their way, I can have all the respect, all the courage, all the fame, everything ever my heart desired if I go and do things their way. And these leaders came to ask him, we just have a couple questions for you. And all of John's dreams were based upon his answers. So John is standing there. He's really looking like, wow, have you ever just been so close to your dream, so close to what you wanted? It was right there in front of you. And all you had to do was reach out and grab it. Here's John standing in front of his dreams. The leaders ask him, are you the Christ?
All right, yes.
Now, this is a tricky situation. Have you ever been told you look like somebody famous? Any Janet Jacksons or Denzels in here? Mariah Carey sitting off somewhere. You know, now, let's say Denzel was way somewhere in another place and nobody was going to ever see him again. And somebody said, hey, are you Denzel? And you looked around and said, well, nobody's looking. If I say I'm Denzel, I can go to Denzel's house. I can drive Denzel's car. I can, you know, have his money. Just one little lie. Who would know? So John is here. Are you the Christ? Are you the Christ? Now, it's not like Jesus walked around with a driver's license and some dog tags. John might have been able to get away with it. He might have been able to say, yeah. But what did John do? In that scripture reading, he says, I am not the Christ. So you think the religious leaders would have walked away, but they gave him another chance. You know, sometimes when temptation comes at us, we deal with it good the first time. No, no, I'm not going to do those drugs. I'm not going to drink that alcohol. And then we get through that time, then the second time, well, it's getting a little tougher here now. Maybe I just might have a sip a little bit. So here's John the second time. They ask him, are you Elijah? Now, Elijah, just a little bit lesser than Christ, he might have really been able to get away with this one, y'all. I can say I'm Elijah. Who's going to know? Elijah's not around. So John is standing there. And boy, oh boy, he might have had it because he's seeing his dreams. Here they are in front of me. All the things I want if I just say that I'm Elijah. But John says, no. Poof, all his dreams go away again. Man, those desert rocks must have been looking hard. I'd have been saying like, oh my God, this heat is too much. I don't know what I'm going to do. But once again, you think the religious leaders will walk away. But no, they gave him another chance. One more time, they asked him, well, Are you the prophet? Now, y'all know he could have got away with this one. He really could have got away with this one. The prophet? It's no name. I can be a prophet right now. Just start calling me prophet. We can all say I'm a prophet. He could have got away with that. No one would have known any different. All of his dreams would have come true. All he said, all he had to do was say, I am the prophet. But John said no. He said no. How many of us would have did that? When we had the chance to get something that we really, really wanted, and we all have done it. We've all done something sneaky or suspicious or something that we shouldn't have did to get something that we wanted. Now, anybody, you gonna stand up and say you didn't do anything sneaky? Look, she said, Walter said he didn't do anything sneaky. Oh, okay. We've all done something sneaky. They say, not Walter. But it's true, every single one of us. We've all told a little random lie. We at work, no, I didn't get here late. Want it to be. It's called sin. And we're like John, every single day we're faced with choices. And we get to either stand in God's will, God's way, and God's plan, or we can do things our own way. You see, because all of us are out, we're all waiting for something. We're all waiting for that opportunity to just come knocking on our door. You know, what's that guy's name that brings you the $1 million check? Ed McMahon. We're all waiting for Ed McMahon or something to come to the door and change everything in our lives. We're all waiting. We're all praying, Lord, please, my job, this, whatever it is I want. We're waiting for something in our lives. But can we be like John and choose God's will, plan, and purpose for our lives? Even if it's not something we like. Because you see, when John said no, that left him out in the desert. That left him out there eating wild locusts and honey. That left him still alone with no relationship. And none of us want to be like that, especially around Christmas. Pastor Toby preached last week, I think, about depression and being alone. None of us want to be alone. None of us want to be without a loved one, family, friend, somebody that we can talk to. But here was John. He made a decision based on God's will, God's wants, God's needs, and not his own. You see, sometimes we get so wrapped up in me. It's all about me. We think that we are the light. We are the light. But we are not the light. What happens when we become the light? It's all about me. It's all about my success. It's all about if I'm going to get a new car, new clothes. It's all about me. When we become the light, when we become the focus, where does that place God? Right to the side somewhere, off in the cut, in the closet. Some of us, God is so far away, we can't even see him. Don't even know he's around. But what happens when we allow God to be the light? Jesus Christ to be the light. Where are we when God is the light? He doesn't push us out to the closet and hide us. He puts us right in the center, right where he is. And then to make things even better, he lets his light shine through us. He gives us our dreams right through him, through us. He sees us every day, everywhere we are. He never lets us go. But we're so quick to turn our back on God. My life is not going like I want it to go. Things are not happening like I want it to be. Well, it's not your life. It's not about you. It's all about God. It's not about me. It's all about God. So thank God there is some hope in this situation. Thank God there is some hope. Because there is this thing called repentance. And repentance means a change of mind, a turning attitude, an attitude way.
Yeah.
You take a different road.
That's right.
And John came with a message of, I am preparing the way for Jesus Christ. I am preparing the way for the light. Now repent. And he's saying, change. Change everything about what you knew. Change everything in your life. Go in a completely new direction from where you started at. Amen?
Amen.
But this is not easy for most of us, for me, for all of you. Because we like our lives. We don't want to change. We don't want to be made new. We don't want to be in that fire. We think, okay, well, I'm standing in this direction. If I just turn just a little bit, this is going to be good enough. I turned. I gave up something. I'm just turning just a little bit. But God is saying, when you follow me, you got to turn all the way around. You got to face the cross. You are turning in a completely new direction that you've never been in before. We have to be willing to say, I am not the light. But the light came so that I could have life and have life abundantly. What are you willing to do today? What are you willing to do for greatness? And when I say greatness, I'm not talking about your own greatness. I'm not talking about you getting to the top at your business. I'm not talking about you getting to the top in your class or being the best football player or the best singer. What are you willing to do for kingdom greatness? For God's greatness? What are you willing to let go of? To sacrifice? Anybody willing to change attitudes today? We all got some mouths that we need to clean up, some hearts that we need to change. When I asked this question earlier, Debbie, who's in the first service, Debbie Jolly, she came up and she said, one thing that I've been willing to change in my life is I want to give up cigarettes. And I asked her if I could share this testimony, and it seems like a small thing to do. But people who smoke cigarettes, you know it's a big thing.
Oh, hallelujah.
This small thing in my life, I want to change. I want to make new. I want to make different. But putting down the cigarette is hard.
Yes.
Those things are addictive.
Yes.
And so when she said, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about God.
Mom.
This body is God's temple.
Hallelujah.
In October, she put that cigarette down. And she has not gone back since.
Hallelujah.
She said she has not had one craving, one desire,
hallelujah,
one nothing for a cigarette.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to change your habits? Are you willing to change your attitudes with your kids? Teenagers, I'm talking to y'all too. What are you willing to do? What are you willing to change when you go to school? Can anybody tell you a Christian?
Come on, come on.
What are you willing to do, adults, when you go to work? Can anybody tell that you are a Christian? What are you willing to change, not for you, but for God? And all of us, I didn't get to say this morning, but one of the greatest things of being here 3 years is I get to work with Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby. And they are phenomenal teachers. And they don't just teach by telling us, go do this and go do that. They do it themselves. And I'm not the first one to say it. When they say we all need to give money, they are the first ones with it in the pot. When they say we all need to come and paint the wall, Pastor Rick break out his gear, Pastor Toby put on her scarf, and they paint the walls. When they say we need to study the Word and know the Word, they are the first ones with the Bible open. What are we willing to do for greatness? As your associate pastor, being here 3 years, I asked even myself that question. What am I willing to do, not for me, but for God? Today, as I celebrate my 3rd anniversary, and I know because y'all been keeping secrets, but I'm nosy. And I know that y'all been trying to do this money thing and get this monetary gift for me, and I think it's great and wonderful. And I thought about that today. Knowing that we are in a financial situation here at Glenville, And we all know about it. I guess you don't know about it, but we all know about it. What are we willing to do for greatness? We can talk about it all we want to. We can say, oh yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that. But until we do it, it doesn't matter. We can stand here, hallelujah, Lord, you are the wonderful God Almighty. But what are our actions saying when we are in the red?
Come on now.
So I thought about it. What am I willing to do for greatness when I receive that check from you all today? And I hope it's a big check.
Hallelujah.
But what am I willing to do for greatness? I know that my kids, James just told me he want that new Nintendo. He told me, I want some new boots. My girls want iPods. You know them iPods, $200. They all want toys. Trinity want a door set. I know they want all this stuff. But I also know that come February, that joystick's going to be broken. The iPod's going to be broke down. It's going to be cast off to the side. And they're not going to give 2 cents about that stuff. So what am I, as your pastor, willing to do for greatness with my money, with my time, with my energy?
Hallelujah.
Am I willing to do what I'm supposed to do? Today we can all, today, not tomorrow, today we can all make the biggest difference in the life of Glenville. Today. We don't have to go into 2007 in a hole. We do not have to go out of this year in debt. You kids, be willing to sacrifice your gifts. Us adults, be willing to sacrifice what you want, because some of y'all want some stuff too. Let's all be willing to say, you know what, I'm going to do something different. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about kingdom greatness. It's about the fact that we are not the light and God is the light.
Yes. Yes.
Because however we decide to use our resources and our time and our energy, our money, that shows what we truly believe the light is. When we're spending all our money on us, who is the light? We are. But when we put our money to God, God becomes the light. So are you willing today to let go of being in the center? Are you willing today to let go of your own desires, your own wants, your own needs? Are you willing today to step aside and truly let God's light shine through? Are you willing today to make a real change? For what if what would our lives be like today if we all decided we're going to all do the right thing by God and put God first? What would Glenville be like? And I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor Kelly, you know that ain't going to never happen. All of us ain't going to do the right thing at the right time. All of us ain't going to give up our money. All of us not going to do it. But you see that?